Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the 8th parak of Maseches Yoma. Today we are learning Parakhas Mishnah Dalid and Parakhas Mishnah Hey. Although Kitanim, those under Bar Bas Mitzvah, are not obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, on a Midaraisa level, on a Torah level, the Chachamim required that they be trained to perform any mitzvos that they can properly perform, so that they are going to get used to performing the mitzvos when they actually become Bar or Bat Mitzvah. Our Mishnah here in Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet, is going to discuss how this concept of chinuch applies to the mitzvah fasting on Yom Kippur. It says the Mishnah Tinokos in Ma'ananoson Biyom Kippurim. We do not allow children to fast on Yom Kippur, meaning we are not obligated to withhold food from them for the entire day of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah uses the term to afflict, meaning to cause distress, to describe fasting, since that is how the mitzvah fasting on Yom Kippur is described in the Torah. Aval says the Mishnah, but mechanchen osam, we do train them to fast by delaying their first meal of the day. As the Bar Tanura points out, we withhold food from a stronger child until 2 hours after the usual time of his first meal of the day. If the child is weaker, then maybe we'll withhold it only for 1 hour, and so on and so forth, based on the child. Lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim, this training begins either a year or two before they actually become bar mitzvah, again, depending on the strength of the child. For a stronger boy, we might begin delaying his meal in Yom Kippur when he's 11, 2 years before he reaches the actual bar mitzvah. If he is weaker, we might begin 1 year when he actually turns 12. And again, this is all based on the Bar Tanura, as quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berura. Continuing now, says the Mishnah again, why do we do this? Bishvil sheyehu regilin b'mitzvos, so that he becomes accustomed to performing mitzvos, so that first time that he fasts on Yom Kippur shouldn't be, or the first time that he doesn't eat his first meal of the day shouldn't be on Yom Kippur. We should get him used to it beforehand. Continuing now with Perek Ches, Mishnah Hey. Now, one is allowed and even obligated to violate any Isser in the Torah in order to save a life, with the exception of three important things. The Gemaras here, famous Gemaras in Maseches Yoma, describing the three exceptions of this rule: Shvichos Dam, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, murder, inappropriate relationship, and idolatry. Are the only three Aveiros, the cardinal sins, as they're called, that would require someone to give up his life. Otherwise, for example, fasting on Yom Kippur might be serious, a very serious thing to fast on Yom Kippur, but if your life is in danger, you are certainly not even allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. With this in mind, the Mishnah tells us, Ubara Shehi Richa, if a pregnant woman smells a particular food and has a very strong desire for it, so we're concerned that maybe she or her unborn baby might be in danger if she does not eat it, Ma'achilinosa Achitashiv Nafsha, therefore we're going to feed her small amounts of that food, less than a shir, chatzi shir, less than the previously discussed amount of the day, until she actually feels relieved and until she is okay. Now we're going to discuss a regular sick person, says the Mishnah, Chole, in the case of a sick person whose life might be in danger if he doesn't eat any Yom Kippur, ma'achilin oso al pi bekiyin, we feed them on the advice of experts, meaning if the patient himself feels that he does not need to eat, but an expert doctor says that he does, we're going to feed him on Yom Kippur, v'im ein sham bekiyin. But if we don't have doctors, if we don't have experts who can tell us whether or not he actually needs to eat, then ma'achilin oso al pi atzma, then we're going to feed him food on Yom Kippur based on his own opinion of his need, achi yomar da, until he says that I have enough, that I don't need any more food. As the Bar Tanura points out, in some cases, a patient is a better judge of his own condition than expert doctors, and in some cases, doctors can better estimate the patient's condition. And when dealing with a possible risk of life, we always take the action that would ensure that the life will ultimately be saved. We're not going to take a risk. Therefore, in the Mishnah's first case, where the patient feels that he does not need to eat, we follow the opinion of the doctor who said that he does. And in the second case, where the patient does feel that he needs to eat, we feed him even if the doctor says that he does not need to eat. Quick review, Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet taught us that we don't allow children to start fasting until they are at least a year or two before their bar mitzvah, and then we're going to make them delay their meals 1 to 2 hours, depending on how strong or weak that particular child is. Again, the goal is to have them become ragil, to accustomed to performing mitzvos, so that they can get used to the idea of fasting. And the Perek Ches, Mishnah Hey discussed the idea that if a person is a chol, is a sick person, whether it's a pregnant woman who smells a particular food, and has a strong desire, so we're going to feed her until she says that she's okay, that she's relieved from her suffering, from her pain. And a regular sick person, we say that generally speaking, even if he doesn't want to eat on Yom Kippur, she doesn't want to eat on Yom Kippur, if a doctor says that the person needs to eat, we're going to feed the person. And if the doctor, if the other side is sure, the doctor says that it's fine, but the person himself or herself is saying that I'm sick, I can't need to eat, and so on and so forth, then in that case as well, we're going to feed the person. We don't want to take any chances. And in a situation of pikuach nefesh, where a person's life is potentially in danger, we are certainly going to feed the person even on Yom Kippur. Have a great day.